Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Tennessee Vols preseason practice is underway. Tennessee got started last week as they head toward the debut of the Josh Heupel era. Of course, Tennessee will open the season against Bowling Green at Neyland Stadium on September 2nd. A matchup that John has billed as the potential game of the century for the Vols. I know, John, you've told me just how much you're looking forward to that opener, right?
There's no question, Blake. I really believe that, in all sincerity, that Bowling Green will be one of the worst teams ever to set foot in Neyland Stadium. I think it has the potential to be the worst team in college football in the FBS division.
To a fault in the media, we discuss quarterback competitions. We know how much intrigue those carry, how much fans are kind of tuned in to those quarterback battles, and so we enjoy breaking those down, and we're going to do that again because we heard from all four of Tennessee's quarterbacks last week as preseason practice opened, and that was like manna from heaven, I thought, because you know, you go back to the Jeremy Pruitt era. And in three seasons, I believe we heard from two quarterbacks. We heard from Jarrett Garantano a handful of times. And then strangely, after the final game of the 2018 season, Tennessee provided us with Keller Christ. After that Vanderbilt game, he appeared in relief against Vanderbilt. And we were unable to talk to Keller Christ all season. He was never made available until that final game. And then they trotted him out there in a very strange move. So Josh Heupel doubled that total in one day by making all four of Tennessee's scholarship quarterbacks available. Of course, we also heard from Josh Heupel himself last week, along with his two coordinators. Did anything you heard last week, whether it be from one of the quarterbacks or from Heupel or offensive coordinator Alex Golish, did that change how you were handicapping this quarterback competition?
Well, I think all the coaches have been very complimentary of Joe Milton, the Michigan transfer. Everybody knows now has a tremendously strong arm, which is great. I still think Harrison Bailey, who doesn't have a really strong arm, I still think Harrison Bailey will be the starter in the season opener. I'm not saying he can hold the starting job from wire to wire, but I think he should be very comfortable in this offense, which you need to make quick, accurate passes. Good decision making. Also, he has familiarity with this. He quarterbacked a similar offense when he was in high school in Marietta, Georgia. I agree that Milton's got the big arm, and I think that's won over a lot of people. I think a lot of people, you included, probably think that Joe Milton will be the starter. I'm still holding out on Harrison Bailey, though.
Yeah, I am in the camp that thinks Joe Milton is the favorite in this competition. I'm not sure I would go so far as to say overwhelming favorite, but I do think he is the favorite at this juncture. I think Josh Heupel brought him in for a reason, and I think that was to start. I think based on what we've heard so far from Josh Heupel and Alex Golish, they seem to like the possibility of Joe Milton leading that offense, because you hear about the big arm, yes, but I think we've also heard a couple times on how impressed this coaching staff is by how Milton has picked up the offense this summer. And so, yes, I am buying into the idea that Joe Milton is the favorite for this competition. You know, I had a chance to talk to three of the four quarterbacks. They all spoke at the same time, so I tried to bounce as quickly as I could while still, you know, getting some FaceTime in with each. But I missed out on Joe Milton, but I did read about his remarks that he offered to our colleagues, Adam Sparks and Mike Wilson. And a couple quick takeaways I got from those media sessions. Number one, Harrison Bailey, I asked him about that perception that he doesn't have the strongest arm and what he makes of that. And it was interesting. Bailey said that historically, arm strength has been one of his top assets. He admitted that his deep ball wasn't particularly sharp last year. He said his mechanics got out of whack last season, and he believes he was able to address those in the offseason and believes he's going to be throwing a much better deep ball this year. Now, we'll see. Perhaps that's just the type of hyperbole you hear in the preseason, but if there's some truth to that, and Bailey was a little out of whack with his deep ball last year and feels like his mechanics are better to allow him to push the ball a little better downfield, then maybe to your point, Harrison Bailey could very much be in this quarterback competition. Ask Brian Maurer if he ever thought about transferring. He said no. He reaffirmed that he plans to be at Tennessee at the long haul and for the long haul and keep on swinging. And he believes he's adjusted well to this coaching transition and thinks that this offense could suit his game. And talking to Hendon Hooker, he obviously came here to play for the previous coaching staff, committed and signed on when Jeremy Pruitt was the coach. You know, that was a difficult situation for Hooker to endure after signing with Tennessee as a graduate transfer. So shortly after that, to have Jeremy Pruitt fire and adjust to a new coaching staff. But he pointed out that Josh Heupel recruited him while Heupel was the offensive coordinator at Missouri. And so they do have a pre-existing relationship. And then in terms of Milton apparently said he'd been dealing with a thumb injury last season. Of course, we know he started for a while at Michigan, lost the starting job. So perhaps we'll see, you know, just how much that thumb injury was affecting him. Any reaction to any of those observations, John? Do you think that's just sort of the talk we hear in the preseason, or do any of those observations land with you as maybe being something really of note that, you know, we should take into account when we think about these quarterbacks?
I think it's funny that the two guys we're talking about in contention for the starting job, Harrison Bailey said his mechanics are out of whack. And I think a lot of people's mechanics could get out of whack playing for Jeremy Pruitt. So I don't hold that against him. When we talk about Joe Milton, he thumb injury. I assume that was on his throwing hand. Yes. Honestly, I don't see how you could throw the ball at all with a thumb injury. I just don't see how that's possible, but maybe he's just that good. You'd have to be able to grip the ball, so I don't quite get that. That kind of puzzled me that he had a thumb injury and was able to keep playing. He also said how competitive he was, and he loves competition. Well, why wouldn't you want to stay in Michigan and compete for that starting job that you'd lost in? That was something that came to mind. Brian Maurer, I give him credit for his stick-to-itiveness. There's no real indicator that he would be the starter. He hardly played last year, had some injuries. He started some the previous year, did okay at times. I know you're a big critic of his. I'm probably not so critical. And that has nothing, that's not personal. You think the world of him as a person from your comments. It's really when you sift through all of this, Blake, I don't know that it means anything.
If Joe Milton wins the starting job, and I know we're in disagreement about whether that will happen, John, as you mentioned, you still think Harrison Bailey has as good a shot, if not better, than anybody. Let's say it's Milton. Do you think then Bailey is the backup, or do you think that would tell us something that makes you believe someone else would be Tennessee's backup quarterback, i.e., if Josh Heupel likes the Joe Milton style of quarterback, would that mean someone else is number two on the pecking order? Do you think Bailey would be the guy to back up Joe Milton if Milton is indeed the starter against Bowling Green in that opener?
Well, since I'm touting Bailey as a starter, I think I'd have to say it. I have to concede that he would be the backup if Milton wins a job. He started three games last year for a really bad team, and I thought he did pretty well for a freshman player. He was accurate. He seemed very composed. I mean, if he's a backup, I think you're in pretty good shape at quarterback. So I would definitely have him as a backup.
With Hendon Hooker, you know, I thought he was probably exited the spring atop the depth chart. Now, I know in the spring game, Bailey had the best performance in the spring game. But I think throughout the spring, in so much as there was a leader in the competition, I thought it was Hendon Hooker. I wonder about him because he was brought in, as I mentioned earlier, by this previous coaching staff. If Jeremy Pruitt was still here, I think Hendon Hooker would be the favorite to be Tennessee's starting quarterback this season. Now, Joe Milton probably wouldn't be here if Jeremy Pruitt was the coach, but I think Hendon Hooker was brought in by Jeremy Pruitt for a reason, and that was to start. The same reason I think that Josh Heupel brought in Joe Milton. But with the coaching change, I think that does complicate things for Hooker. Now, Josh Heupel and this staff, I think, gave him a really legitimate look all spring. As I said, I think he was leading the competition most of spring. But now with Milton in the mix, you know, he's another transfer. He's got more eligibility than Hooker. Hooker has two seasons left. Milton, he's got three seasons left. He could be your long-term quarterback. And if you committed to a 1-2 punch of Milton and Harrison Bailey, I mean, last year didn't count against the eligibility of anybody. So Bailey, technically has 4 seasons left of eligibility. You really could try to commit to those guys long term. Now, I know that's difficult to do in the era of the transfer, but you could try to build some momentum behind those two guys and see which one in the long run shakes out as being your quarterback of the future. I kind of like that idea of a 1-2 punch of Milton and Bailey, given how long these guys have a chance to be in the program, given that you have Milton's strong arm and we saw a lot of poise and accuracy from Bailey last year. I think the ceiling for those two guys, I believe, is the highest out of any of these four quarterbacks. I think Milton and Harrison Bailey offer the highest ceiling. Hendon Hooker offers a lot of experience. I don't think he would be a dud at quarterback, but I think we've probably seen something close to his ceiling at Virginia Tech, and I just wonder if Milton or Bailey, you know, can reach a higher rung.
Yeah, one thing to remember with Hooker and also with Milton is, for whatever reason, injury, whatever, they were both beaten out for a starting job where they were. I think that's important to remember, that these guys, why they came to Tennessee. Colleague Adam Sparks and I were talking about this on the phone today, about a lot of times when you want to evaluate transfers, evaluate the situation where they were in terms of how good they were or how not good they were. I remember Trevor Knight a few years back that beat Tennessee, played pretty well at Texas A&M at quarterback. Well, why'd he transfer to Texas A&M? Because he got beat out by Baker Mayfield, but he wasn't getting beat out by just some mediocre guy. He was beaten out by the Heisman Trophy guy. So I just think that's important to remember that. And I just don't know how good these quarterbacks were that Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton lost out to. But that kind of factors into my thinking, is they did lose their starting jobs. You are getting a transfer. You're getting a backup quarterback.
John, from what we've heard from Josh Heupel so far, he said that he wants people within his program to have a voice. He was specifically asked during his on the eve of preseason practice news conference, was specifically asked about making assistant coaches available, about making so many players available to the media. And that was something, as I discussed earlier, we didn't see a lot of during the Pruitt era. You would get the assistants maybe once in the spring, maybe once in the preseason, but then that was your only opportunity to hear from assistants all year. It was from that Nick Saban playbook of the one voice playbook. And you heard from the head coach, and that's really all you heard from in the coaching staff throughout the season. And even from a player's perspective, you'd hear from a few players a week at Tennessee, but it wasn't a huge variety of voices. You rarely heard from a quarterback. You know, so far we're hearing from a lot of voices. We're hearing up and down the roster, up and down the coaching staff. Does this matter? I know you wrote a column about this recently, but do you think this matters at all? Is this just something that we in the media appreciate the chance to talk to a variety of people? And I think fans, part of the reason we appreciate it is fans appreciate it. They like to be able to get to know the players, get to know the coaches. They're not just hearing from one person all the time. You want to hear from the head coach, but I think you want to hear from other people in the organization too. But does that matter at all in terms of building a program? Because the best coach in college football right now is Nick Saban, who I said doesn't let his assistants talk during the season. How much does this matter versus not matter?
Well, if you can coach as well as Nick Saban, if you can recruit as well as Nick Saban, if you have Alabama's successor, it really doesn't matter what you do. I mean, you can never let a player, an assistant coach, anybody. You don't even let your media relations liaison talk to the media. he can do whatever he wants. So you can't judge things by that. I think it helps Tennessee. I think it helps to let your fan base at least have an idea what these players are like, put a face with the name, a voice with the name. A program in Tennessee's situation, I think, needs that. It needs some good PR. It's had so much bad PR. We got an NCAA investigation going on. Also, I think it's in keeping with the way college football is going. With the name, image, and likeness rule being passed, where players can now profit off their NIL, you can't tell them they can't talk to the media. How can you do that? That's affecting their brand. It could be affecting their business deal. It could cost some money. So to say, well, freshmen can't talk to the media. No, that just isn't going to work anymore. So I think that shows that Heupel has, he has a sensitive tone, ear to the tone of college football right now. Something else about it, this is based on a very, very limited experience because I haven't been around. I sat through a couple of press conferences with him. I don't think he worries a whole lot about what's said, about what his players say, or about what his assistant coaches say. If he were, he wouldn't let his assistant coaches come in there and speak because you can't expect them to always parrot just to what he said. So he's giving up control there. And I think he's saying that that's not so important to me.
Yeah, that's a good point, John, because I think, you know, the offensive line coach talking to the media, that doesn't help or hurt your ability to win or lose games. It has no impact really on whether you're going to win the game that weekend. But the fact that Josh Heupel is comfortable allowing numerous voices talk about this program, to your point, that tells me that maybe he's not a micromanager, which we see a lot of times young head coaches, which Heupel does have 3 years of head coaching experience from UCF, but overall, I think we would still call him a young head coach. A lot of young head coaches in particular micromanage. They really can't let go of anything, and they can't delegate very well. This tells me that maybe Josh Heupel doesn't fall into that category. John and I will continue to be podcasting here on the Volunteer State every week as we get ready for this 2021 Tennessee football season. We appreciate you subscribing. If you don't already, appreciate it if you could give us a review that helps us get in front of more listeners. And also, if you haven't listened to our new podcast, it's called SEC Football Unfiltered. Features John and I discussing the SEC through a broader lens. We had a lot of fun there. So if you haven't tried us out on SEC Football Unfiltered, we'd appreciate it if you can do so. John, I want to close. We've talked about quarterbacks a lot, and we'll continue to do so. I shouldn't apologize for that. There is a lot of interest in Tennessee's quarterback competition. But one question I do get sometimes from fans as we talk so much about Heupel's offense and the quarterbacks is, what's Tennessee going to have on defense? You know, there is this concern I sense permeating throughout Tennessee fans that, okay, maybe Heupel's going to be better for quarterbacks. Maybe the Vols are going to score some more points and be more exciting than they were under Jeremy Pruitt, but are they going to be able to stop anybody? I'm skeptical of that. And I thought you asked a really good question to defensive coordinator Tim Banks in media availability last week of whether Tennessee's defensive line, its front seven, will be able to hold up to the rigors of the SEC. You know, there's always so much discussion about how this is moving to a fast-paced era, spread offenses, and what have you. But as you pointed out, there's some sturdy running games still in the SEC, and you better have a front unit that can hold up against that. And Tim Banks basically said, that's a million-dollar question. We're looking forward to finding out. But how big of concern do you think is Tennessee's defense, even as we focus most of our attention onto the quarterback battle? Is the defensive situation really more important than anything going on in that quarterback battle?
I think the defensive situation is a huge concern. Tennessee, that's where there was attrition in the transfer portal and some proven pretty decent players, and then some players that could have provided depth, experienced depth. As I mentioned in my question, there are a number of teams on Tennessee's schedule in the SEC East that are just going to come out and test Tennessee's defensive front. Georgia has five good running backs. Five. Not a great offensive line. It could be better than we're just not sure. It's not as seasoned as last year's, but five good running backs. And it's committed to running the ball under Kirby Smart. And I think it will really challenge Tennessee's defensive front. South Carolina, Kevin Harris, one of the best running backs in the league, and adding Marshawn Lloyd, who was injured last year as a freshman. And it's got an experienced offensive line. So those are two teams that will run the ball. Kentucky's for the last few years, it's lived and died with the running game. It will continue to do so. Also picked up Darryl Rosenthal, a starting offensive lineman at LSU, through the transfer portal. So all of that. And then, you know, Alabama will be able to run the ball, even though they lost Najee Harris. So as the season goes along, it's going to be more of a challenge as depth becomes a factor. If Tennessee can hold up against those kind of running games, even Florida now will be much more committed to the run than he was last season. Dan Mullen, its coach, as always, his offensive philosophy varies according to who his quarterback is and his personnel. I think Florida will try to run the ball a lot. I think that's going to be just a huge challenge for Tennessee.
Yeah, John, I was asked recently by a Vols fan that's a member of my text group what I thought the key to Tennessee's defensive success would be this year. I said, better score a lot of points on offense, meaning I don't think there's going to be a lot of defensive success for Tennessee's defense, and I think the best path to overall success for Tennessee this year is better hope that offense really, really does improve under Josh Heupel, as we think could happen. You know, whether that means it improves enough for Tennessee to have a winning season, I think that's a bigger question. But I think it is going to improve, and I think it is going to have to compensate for the defense a little bit, especially here in year one, because of some of those roster limitations that you've mentioned. We'll continue to break it down as the season gets closer, but for now, thank you for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.